All right, guys, welcome back to Shakedown Shan. Hope you all had a good, 2 weeks? I know I've been crazy busy. We've got a lot going on right now. We moved Joey last weekend. He is now living in Glens Falls with me. So that's exciting. Trying to rearrange the whole house, we're moving rooms to different rooms and trying to like figure out the best setup for everything. So it's been a lot of rearranging and moving furniture around. Some feng shui is always good.
What's that, Chinese food?
No. Oh. When you rearrange a room, it's changing the feng shui of the room or something.
I thought
it's supposed to like bring you like, I don't know, good luck or like peace and happiness to like change.
I thought you were meant
it's like good change, I guess.
I thought it meant Chinese food, and I was going to tell you don't eat Chinese food with all that's going on over there.
Oh, yeah, no.
Because if you get a yen for fried rice, then you may have that Chinese flu.
Oh, really?
Nah, I'm only kidding.
Yeah, that flu thing is a little crazy.
Scary.
I don't know though, because like we had the outbreak of Ebola and we've had swine flu and we've had this and that, and like I just don't know like how serious it is, because they always seem to make it so serious.
Well, I mean, people are dying over there.
Yeah.
And I think it's bad, but see, they don't have any medicine for it yet.
Mm-hmm.
There's no vaccine. They're coming up with a vaccine, they said, within a month. But, I mean, it's even some Americans have been exposed to it now. Like, there's, I don't know, 20
mm-hmm.
out west, California and the state of Washington. But, I mean, why take a chance? So they're restricting
right.
their travel. The president said no incoming planes, you know, people. They're moving our embassy people to, I think, a different country, but in quarantine.
Yeah, no, that's fine. But I mean, like, just like everyday people who have no contact with the Chinese whatsoever,
right,
like
right.
walking around Saratoga are like, oh my God, the virus. And
nah,
it's just
I wouldn't
so
worry
silly.
Unless they found
yeah.
one in the area. See, then.
Yeah,
you
I'm not worried.
Know, I'm not worried about it yet, but I don't want to catch it though, because
yeah.
it's kind of deadly, I think
yeah.
they said.
Well, I mean, lots of people die from the flu.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And that's, I mean, they made a big deal about the flu this year, but typically the flu is not made like a huge
no.
deal about, but.
Excuse me. No, you're right. And I think because this is new, and see, I guess the flu is bad for children and
for older people,
but
yeah.
I think this flu is dangerous for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what your age is, but oh well. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. So we also have some more exciting news. So Joey and I are actually expecting.
You are?
Yeah. So
great.
About 14 weeks.
Okay.
So that's exciting. So we're getting ready for that too.
What's the due date then? I can't figure
August
this stuff
1st.
Out. August 1st.
Yep. So Noah's going to be a big brother.
Wow.
He's excited. It's kind of crazy. I knew it was going to be a long time before I had another kid, but I didn't think it was going to be this soon.
Well,
but even when I say that, it's not really soon because Noah's almost 9.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
There's
I
a
mean,
big age
not,
gap between them.
Yeah, how long did you want to wait, you know?
So that's going to be exciting and fun. I feel a lot more prepared this
good.
Time. Yeah, even though I do and I don't. Like, I feel like you can never really be prepared.
Right,
so
but at least
like,
you know what to expect.
Yes, I know what to expect. But I'm just going crazy. I just want to, like, go buy all the clothes in the world, but I don't know if it's a boy or a girl yet. So
you want to know?
Yeah, I want to know. It's going to be, like, another 6 weeks or something. But, yeah, I went shopping for Joey's niece, who just turned 1. So I went shopping for her birthday last weekend. And I came home, and I said, you better hope we don't have a girl, because I just spent way too much money on this little girl. I've been TJ Maxx, like, getting all the cute dresses and with the cute little rose-shaped buttons
yeah.
down the back. And I'm like, ooh, this one and this one and this one. I come home, I'm like, look what I got. And
well,
I got,
see,
like, bags full of stuff.
If it's a boy, at least you can start saving Noah's clothes for
I didn't save anything of Noah's. I actually, because I knew it was going to be a long time, and, you know, moving for school and then moving back, and just, I didn't want to, I mean, that's a lot of baby stuff to carry around and move. So after Noah grew out of stuff, I gave them, actually gave a lot of stuff that I had to another teen mom in our school who was having a baby, and I just was like, here, take it. Take it all. Because, like, I got donated most of Noah's stuff to me. It's actually crazy. Like, people are like, babies are so expensive, and they are. They really, really are. But it's actually pretty amazing how a community comes together. When, like, you know, I have a young mom or, like, a mom who can't afford a lot of things. You know, being 15, what was I going to afford? Like, waitressing on Saturdays or something is not enough for a baby. So I only ended up, like, I think purchasing one, like, baby gadget or whatever. Everything else is donated to me. I had so many clothes donated to me. It's just like whatever I needed, like the school nurse, like, helped find things. She went to churches and got things. And then I had family who gave me things. And it's actually pretty amazing.
And, you know, kids' clothes are really in good shape because they keep, they don't wear them that long.
No, they grow out of them so quick. And so it's just now that I can afford a child, I'm like, adding up all the prices, and I'm like, wow, I really got handed a lot of stuff. It's crazy. It really is. Well, but I'm very thankful for the community that I came from because they're always right there to help out.
That's neat. So we'll have an extra feature on the show Saturdays. Shan's baby update. And we'll do that. That's neat.
We're trying to, we're having a hard time coming up with names. It's so hard. Yeah. It's just so hard. I mean, Noah was so easy to come up with. But this one's very, very hard. But we're going to keep it a secret when we do pick.
Okay. Well, one of the one of the favorite names that's going around now is Rick. And if it's a girl, Richelina. So, yeah, I'm just saying, I mean, you know.
That's funny. Yeah, we're trying to do something, like, unique and not very common.
Right.
I was looking at, like, Gaelic names because I'm Irish. And it's just so funny. The Gaelic language, the way that they're written is just not how it's pronounced.
No.
No. It's insane. It's like, this doesn't even look like that. crazy. Yeah. But, yeah, that's the exciting news.
Good luck. I mean, congratulations. Thank I'm happy for you.
I'm definitely excited.
So it'll be another child in the studio.
It'll probably stay home.
It'll be for a while.
This will be my, like, escape time.
Yeah, that's good, though. You do need an escape time.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's nice. I'm glad.
Yeah. Yeah, so let's see. Now into the less exciting news.
Yeah, really.
So I do have a clip. We'll probably play it a little bit later. About the impeachment stuff, but I do have some stuff here from Reason magazine, the libertarian news reporting place. They always have some good stuff. So probably not a lot of people know about this, but the Supreme Court is challenging the Fourth Amendment in a case right now. In the Fourth Amendment, we've talked about the amendments before, but I wrote down the amendment again just to refresh everybody. So the Fourth Amendment is the right to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures. Shall not be violated and no warrants shall be issued, but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. So this is about unreasonable search and seizure, which we already know New York violates all the time. The, what was it, the just stopping because someone smells marijuana on the street or something can stop you and pat you down. Was that that was one of them, right? So anyway, this is Kansas versus Glover or Glover. I'm not sure how you pronounce it. So this is happening in Kansas. Okay. So this guy was suspended, or his license was suspended, right? And so they're giving, so he's taking this to court. He got pulled over because they saw the car driving and they scanned the license plate. And he got pulled over because it flagged that the owner that has this vehicle registered has a suspended driver's license. So they pull him over to see if that person's driving the car. And he was. So, you know, he gets, I don't know what happens. I don't know if you get a ticket or arrested or whatever. I guess it depends. I'm sure it said it in here and I forgot. But he and his attorney are bringing this up to the Supreme Court that this is a violation, that the traffic stop itself is a violation to the Fourth Amendment. Because anybody, so they use this example. They say, assume you're a 17-year-old licensed driver and your father's driver's license has been suspended. He hands you the keys to his car and asks you to run an errand. While completing that errand, you are stopped by the police. You have not broken a single law. You are only stopped because the officer guessed that your father might be driving. So the question here is, was the traffic stop lawful? Let's see. According to Kansas, it does not matter if innocent drivers happen to get stopped based on the false assumption that someone else is behind the wheel. While it is certainly possible that the registered owner of a vehicle is not the driver, it is reasonable for an officer to suspect that the owner is driving the vehicle absent other circumstances that demonstrate the owner is not driving. That is the very point of investigative stops, to confirm or dispel an officer's suspicion. However, so when you read the Fourth Amendment, it clearly states that like a search or seizure, in this case it's not seizure but more of a search, has to be particularly described. So it has to like, they have to be like hunting this person down, right? I guess. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the fact that someone else can drive the car that is able to drive,
right,
I feel like doesn't warrant a reason to pull this vehicle over, right?
Just I because think so.
Like I can see both sides of the stances, but mm-hmm. in an innocent until proven guilty kind of law that we're supposed to have, assuming that the driver is the one with the suspended license, I think is unlawful, especially if the driver's not doing anything wrong. Why pull them over?
Right.
I mean, in New York, you can have your license suspended for the most ridiculous things. You can lapse your insurance for one day when you're changing insurances because something went wrong or whatever, and you didn't have one day of coverage. Mm-hmm. Now your license is either suspended for one day or you have to pay like, what, $80 or something per day until a certain point, and then it goes down a little bit. I don't know how it is in Kansas, but licenses get suspended for stupid stuff in New York all the time. So maybe this guy had an insurance lapse, or I don't know what the case is of why it was suspended, but either way, if he was driving and wasn't doing anything wrong on the road, isn't that why cops are supposed to pull people over? Because they're speeding or they look like they're driving drunk. I feel like in the privacy of the vehicle that's owned by somebody, whoever's driving, whether it be the person with the good license or the suspended license, should be safe in that car as long as they're, like, should be safe to their privacy in that car as long as they're not doing anything.
You would think so.
Yeah. So I'm on the side of Glover in this case. I don't know how you feel about that.
Well, I don't think you should be pulled over unless there's a problem with the car or you're weaving in the road. Mm-hmm. You know, I think if a car is obeying the rules of the road, I don't see why they should be pulled over.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if there's a warrant out for that car.
Right, and that's what, you know, I feel like the Fourth Amendment says. Like, it has to be particularly described,
mm-hmm.
that this, you need to get this car off the road or something right. like that. But that's not the case here.
And no, it isn't. But I think, you know, police want, it's a law now in New York and probably other states too, that the police have to see your license plate. That's why you have a light on it.
Yep.
And that's probably so they can run the plate while they're still in back of you driving to see if there's any warrants out
yep.
or for that. That I can see. But, you know, not for anything else. I mean, if you're obeying the rules, then they shouldn't pull you over just for a spot check.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And also, you know, you pull people over for, like, whatever reason you can find. So say it be a suspended license or whatever, or suspended registration.
Mm-hmm.
Then you might find other stuff in the car. So right. And then it becomes this other bigger thing. But was that stop lawful?
Right.
Well,
they have those roadblocks all the time.
Oh,
they
those are so illegal.
Check your registration
yeah.
in the window, you know, or inspection mm-hmm. sticker.
Those are so unconstitutional. That's unreasonable search, definitely, by definition. There's no reason that me coming home from work has to go through a road stop.
No reason.
Unfortunately, Reason Magazine brings up the fact that the Supreme Court has a track record of not really caring about the Fourth Amendment. I don't know. I just feel like the amendment should be taken so literal because they are very specific.
Mm-hmm.
People always talk about this elastic clause where you can, like, interpret it a certain way. But I think they should be taken very literal.
See, and they interpret it in different generations, too.
Right.
See, what might have been 100 years ago, then they reinterpret it for today.
Uh-huh. Like, the Second Amendment gets right. reinterpreted so much yep. when it literally says the right to bear and own arms. That covers anything.
Well, sure it does.
So...
But it's what is politically correct
right.
at the time.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, it's ridiculous. They mm-hmm. always refer to the founders, you know, the founders wanted this and that. But,
yes,
you know,
yep.
I mean, it's right there in black and white. It's lasted 200 years, 250 years. Mm-hmm. Live with it.
They brought up the founders with the impeachment stuff. Like, this is not what the founders would have wanted and blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, you don't care what the founders would right. have wanted any other time.
I know.
So it's just funny. So I didn't know that this was going on. This started in 2016. And this article was just put out on the 30th. So it's still in the Supreme Court. And, yeah, we'll have to check on an update for this. I don't think the guy's going to win.
Probably not.
Unfortunately. But if he does, that would be able to have a lot of people bring more things because that would set a precedent.
Oh, yeah, for other different venues. Like,
yeah.
Can you go into a restaurant and take blood from a person to see if they're on any drugs? You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You don't want to give the authorities... too much infringement on
right.
personal rights, you
right.
know? I mean, that's the thing.
Because when you give them an inch, they take a mile. Yeah,
they'll keep going. Hey, no, go on. When we get into the governor, I want to just mention what he's doing now with why people are leaving New York.
Oh. All right. So I did have something else here from Reason about the opioid crisis. We know there's been a huge crackdown on the opioid crisis, which we all know we have this opioid crisis because of Big Pharma and the government being involved with Big Pharma. And so here we have the government trying to get involved again, trying to crack down on it. And as we know, government interference never helps. It just always makes things worse or just doesn't help at all.
Right.
So the opioid-related deaths have, we know they've been rising. In 2018, they fell a little bit. However, so people are saying this is such a good thing. We're doing good with the opioid crisis. We've been cracking down on it. We've been making them provide alternatives and not prescribe it so easily. But because they're prescribing these alternatives, that doesn't mean that these alternatives are necessarily better.
Mm-hmm.
So these alternatives are actually more harmful, more addictive, and more deadly than these opioids.
You're right.
And so they're putting their, here, let's see. Reason says, since this fall, does that mean that government's crackdown on prescriptions is finally having the desired effect? Probably not. The decline in opioid-related deaths is more plausibly attributed to harm reduction measures, such as a wider access to the overdose antidote naloxone, I think it's called. I don't know how to describe
with
it.
With a D?
Nope. N-A-L-O-X-O-N-E.
Yeah.
And treatment programs involving methadone and buprenorphine. I'm not a doctor. Not a pharmacist. You know what?
Unless you've taken Latin, you can't.
So efforts to reduce the supply of pain pills, by contrast, have deprived bona fide patients of the medication they need while driving non-medical users towards black market substitutes, which are far more dangerous because their potency is highly variable and unpredictable. So you get them on these alternatives like methadone.
Hmm.
And just like the opioids, methadone is very addictive and will still drive them to the black market after they are done with this treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Seeking more methadone.
No, you're right.
So these deaths to these alternatives are rising. So, yes, you can say, oh, we cut down on opioid-related deaths. But they're not telling you the other half of the information that, oh, now it's rising in these other drug-related deaths that just happen to be the alternatives to the opioid medicine. So as we see yet again, another instance of government interference that is supposed to try to help something is just not doing that. And they're going to make it seem like it's helping.
Mm-hmm.
They're only going to tell you the statistics and the facts, that shed light on it, but they're not telling you the other side. There's a dark side of the moon to the government stories all the time. And, it's up to people to do some research.
Right.
That, okay, while this is going down, what is going up? And while this is going up, what is going down? So, yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and that happens a lot with drugs. If you take a drug to help one problem, it creates another.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's because if you have a problem, like a heart problem, you take a drug, they have to give you another drug to counteract the heart problem. Drug. That's why people are on so many medicines.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Another cool thing, I don't know if you watched the Grammys.
No, I refuse to.
I didn't watch the Grammys. I did look at the updates though, because my favorite artist, mm-hmm. Who I'm obsessed with, was nominated for 2 Grammys.
Oh wow.
And unfortunately, because you know the Grammys are kind of rigged and she's very alternative. She's very, very, very popular, but she's not on mainstream radio.
Okay.
She actually, she put out a song. It was a cover of a Sublime song, and it was her first radio hit since 10 years ago.
Wow.
Well, 8 years ago, 10 years ago. And I was like, oh, my God. I heard her on the radio one day. I'm like, she's on the radio? Oh, my God, that's crazy. But even that, like, she's just never been a radio singer. She's not mainstream. Although she has the following of mainstream artists. So she was nominated for Album of the Year and Song of the Year. However, Billie Eilish, do you know her?
No, but is that the one that won every...
She won like four or five Grammys.
Best new artist, best album, best song of the year. I heard that.
Yeah.
She's just a young girl too, isn't she?
Uh-huh. I think she's 18 now. She started doing music very young and got famous like, what, 2 or 3 years ago? But yeah, she's a great artist. She really is. And she's very alternative. She's very mainstream for being so alternative. She's right. So different. And a lot of her success is actually in part of my artist that I like, Lana Del Rey. She helped pave the way for alternative artists to create a big following. And Lana loves Billie Eilish. They're good friends. So she was happy about that. But anyway, we're not a celebrity talk show. So anyway, I watched the updates today.
I could go on a tangent. We're not entertainment tonight.
No. So anyway, Reason put out an article, about her because her brother is, her producer or whatever, mostly. And helps write the songs and everything. So Billie Eilish and her brother stated in a interview or whatever that they thank homeschooling for their success. It's very, very interesting because I know homeschooling is a big thing in libertarianism because, you know, we don't like the public indoctrination in schools and everything. We prefer private schools, charter schools, homeschooling if possible. And I wish I could homeschool Noah. It was never something I thought about. It wasn't something talked about a lot, so I didn't really know that it was really an option. I knew homeschooling was there, but like I only ever knew one person that was homeschooled.
Yeah.
Like I didn't know it was like a big thing. And, like, I didn't know how to do it. It wasn't appealing at the time. I was so busy. And now that I'm expecting, I do plan to try to figure out homeschooling in the future, possibly, if I can make that work. But I thought this was a pretty cool article. She just talks about how school, you know, public school never really teaches you practical ways to learn. Like she was taught math by cooking with her mom and baking, you know, measurements and everything. She's taught math that way. She was taught how to build things with her father, and they would go places and go on trips and do learning on those trips, and it just allows you ways to figure out who you are and how you learn and what is most important to you as you're growing up, and it gives you that flexibility. And so I thought it was pretty interesting that you had someone so mainstream talking about homeschooling.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of celebrities and stuff grew up with, like, you know, private tutors and stuff like that, but her parents solely homeschooled them.
There's, you know, that's, I think the number of homeschools grow every year.
They do.
They're very, very
you just reminded me. They popular. Actually have the numbers in here. They say about 3.3% of K-12 students are homeschooled. That's about 1.7 million, and that was in 1999. Let's see. The big concern about public schooling for most of these people or for one third of these people was school environment, safety, drugs, and peer pressure. The another one third were citing problems with academics and religious instruction. They want to be able to, you know, teach religion and whatever.
Sure.
Just fine. And then they say, as of 2016, well, between 1999 and 2016, which was the last year of data was available, students attending traditional public schools has declined 74%.
Wow.
And so that shows a big dissatisfaction with the public school system. And, I mean, when we spend more on our administrators than our teachers, there's and our supplies.
Yeah, no, you're right.
You're going to have that dissatisfaction. You're not spending money into the curriculum. And, you know, it makes sense that people are pulling their kids out of school.
I think the only the only downside is, and a parent can control that, is making sure the child still gets socialization with other children. And, I mean, you know, that there's ways to do that. I mean, you can take swimming lessons.
Oh, yeah, go to, like, library reading groups.
Right. And I mean, there are things that you can do. And I would say I can't think of any other downside to it. Other than making sure the child has socialization.
Right, and in today's modern age with social media, you know, you get on a Facebook group of homeschooling parents in the area, and you all set up, like, a one time a week where you get all the kids together at the library, you read some books, you pick some books out, or maybe you go on, like, a trip with some other parents to the museum. And it's very, very easy to find people that also homeschool their children in your area now. There's just, I have saved so many YouTube videos to watch on how to homeschool your children while working full time, because that's my biggest barrier.
Right.
Is, and I won't pull Noah out of public school just because he's almost done with third grade. He's been there. That's just what I did with him, and he's in public school. And I don't like public school.
Yeah, they're tough.
But I'm not going to uproot him from that because he's happy there, whatever. But knowing what I know now, having some more years of wisdom, I don't want to public school my second child. And I just have so many videos saved that I have to watch. There's so much information out there now. And I felt like if I had tried to do this with Noah, I felt like there probably wouldn't have been so much information, like, so easily accessible. But now, just in this modern age, it's so much easier.
You know, the statistic you gave for how many children are homeschooled, you know, in 2017 it went up to 2.56%. So it went up in 4 years, it went up almost a whole percent, if not over a whole percent. So I think that's shows that
it's there's a rise in it, definitely. I know a lot of people that follow the show that homeschool their children. And I've never been, like, in touch with so many people that homeschool. It's I think it's a great thing.
It is a great thing. And, I mean, you know, public school would be at the top, the most unlikely place you want to send your child. I think below, you know, above that would be
public charter school.
Or public charter school or parochial, private, or, you know, like I went to Catholic school. And then the top would be homeschooled. But I know my daughters, when they went to parochial schools, they really got a good education, and
You can shop around and
structured,
discipline,
structured, and it wasn't. I mean, it was very good.
I mean, I'd say the best alternative to homeschooling, if you can't feasibly homeschool, mm-hmm. Or you just don't feel ready for it, would be private school. Mm-hmm. And that can be pretty pricey. But I mean, like I said, that brings in community. Are you going to have family and maybe churches help out if you think this is a really good cause? Or like maybe can you work at the school like part-time and get part of your tuition off?
Exactly.
You find ways to make it work. But private school allows you to shop around, go to different towns close by. If you don't like the ones in your town, you can pick and choose. Mm-hmm. I know there were kids living in Luzerne that went to private schools in Queensbury.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives more of a like a marketplace type of feel, which sure. I think public schools should be that way too. Just because you live in one district, I feel like shouldn't mean you have to go to that public school.
Oh, no.
What if you want to go to Saratoga school? And
that's
I know
right.
that brings in the idea of, oh, what about school taxes and everything? Okay, well, maybe you have to pay Saratoga tax.
Yeah, but how many people who have kids that don't go to school that pay school tax?
Right.
So if you've got mm-hmm. people with no kids paying school tax here, and let's say in Luzerne, and Luzerne sends a child down here, well, that kind of, to me, that equals
itself.
It evens
out, really.
Yeah, it really does.
And then you got, when you're homeschooling your kids and you have property, you're still paying school tax, which
right.
I think is wrong. I mean, I don't believe in school tax because of your property. I think, you know, it should be tuition-based. And, well, not if it's public school, because we pay the tax in our income anyway.
Right.
So, but if we privatized schools and had, like, you know, the School of Hadley-Luzerne, and it's the community thing, and you like that school, then you opt into the tax to pay for that school.
Sure. Now, you have a Catholic school up in Hadley-Luzerne,
yes.
King School, isn't
yep.
that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I know we take kids up there.
Yes, yep. We had some kids go there for school. And also, I know some people with private schools don't really care about the religion aspect, but there are private schools that don't incorporate religion. And
yeah.
So...
well, I know, like where the girls went to school, Spa Catholic, they had non-Catholics
mm-hmm.
go to school there. But the thing was, you had to take... during religion,
right.
of course, you had to take it. And, I mean, we had, of course, I'm Catholic. My wife isn't. I had no problem with that at all
mm-hmm.
because it's not like the old days where they said, if you're not Catholic, you're really bad, you know?
Yeah, my dad went to, I think it was Catholic
yeah.
private school, which is funny because all of his sisters went to public school and him and his brother went to Catholic school. And they shove religion down your throat, and I'm pretty sure that's
right.
why we're not religious.
And they, but they don't do that anymore.
Right.
And my daughters would come home and say, I mean, you know, it's. I mean, even she had some kids in her class that were Jewish, and they
mm-hmm.
Had to take religion, but they didn't have a problem with it. Because that's the
right.
first thing they ask
yeah.
you when you go to sign up, do you have any problem with having a religion class, and today it's just not like
right.
it was 50 years ago, 60
right.
years ago.
I
so.
Think it's important to study religion. I'm not religious, but I've read the Bible.
Yeah.
I took a Bible as literature course where we literally just read it for what it was as
mm-hmm.
a story. And it's, you learn a lot about how people lived life through the years.
Yep.
Because they believed in this book, and this is how they structured their life around that. It gives you a lot of insight to history. And you can't learn history without learning the religion, too, because that's a huge part of history. That drove the Thousand-Year Wars, the Crusades.
Right.
That was a religious war.
No, definitely.
And
no, you're right.
But, yeah, school choices. It was actually School Choice Week this week.
Oh, it was.
So... I thought it was a good topic to talk about because, you know, you have Elizabeth Warren who does not want to allow school choice. And, but yet she sends her kids to private school. it's so funny.
Yeah.
So funny. Yeah. So speaking about debates and everything, you know, Iowa's Monday.
Mm-hmm.
We've still got this impeachment thing rolling.
That should be over with by Wednesday.
Yes, because they voted not to take witnesses.
Yeah.
Which everyone's in an uproar about. I don't really care. We all know I've been done with this since like 2 years ago.
You're right. And I'll tell you whose fault it is. It's the Democrats' fault. Because the committee in Congress is supposed to try the case. And they called 18 witnesses, all right? And they could have subpoenaed John Bolton. And they didn't. So when it gets to the Senate, what the Senate's job is to look at the
evidence
and
make a decision.
Right. Now, they had the testimony of the 17 or 18 witnesses that, and the Republicans couldn't call any witnesses at the impeachment trial in Congress. And so they had those witnesses. They heard testimony via video, right? And they said that you presented your case saying it was ironclad, so we should be able to make a decision based on the merits of your trial. And they said, oh, no, you have to call witnesses. Well, that's not their job. And so I read an article this morning where it said that the Senate was being set up by Congress because the majority of the Senate is Republican, the majority of Congress is Democrat, and since they didn't do their job in their hearings, that they wanted the Senate to call Bolton and the other people, and that's not their job. So, but it would make the Republicans look bad if they denied more witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they're saying. You know, I mean, it's the Republicans' fault that Senate, because they wouldn't call witnesses.
Yeah, it's always someone's fault or another's fault. And if it was, if we had a Democratic president this was happening to, and the Senate was mostly Democratic, then it would be the Democrats' fault, right?
Exactly.
Like, it doesn't matter who's in power, who's overtaking what part of Congress. It's always the ruling side. Sure. That's fault it is. And so they're always just going to point fingers and
blame. Right, and they said the two charges they put against them weren't even impeachable. So you have an election in 9 months, and the people decide whether they agreed with it or they disagreed with it.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't something.
Honestly, the whole impeachment thing, and if they did vote for witnesses and voted to remove Trump from office or whatever, would just hurt the Democrats.
Yeah.
It just divides the country even more, and that's not what you want. People are so sick of this and so fed up with this, especially after they run with Russia collusion for so long, and then we're just nothing came out about it.
Right.
This is a waste of time. It's a waste of our money.
So whose fault is that? And people are people that aren't really. So you either have Trump haters or people that like Trump. There's no in between like there are with other politicians.
Right. It seems like there's not many.
Right. So who, if you're looking at this, I mean, most of the people, I think there's more people that like Trump today than there was when he was running the last time.
And I think a lot of that increase is not even necessarily because they like him.
No.
But just because they're so fed up with everything.
Right.
And they're like, you know what? I'm not supporting anything the Democrats are doing because this is BS.
And you got a lot of quacks and starting to come out of the Democrat, you know. But I think, I think people are looking at this and saying, what are the Democrats trying to prove here? This has been going on for 3 years.
I know.
I mean, come on.
And if they're not going to pull witnesses and talk about these things, why don't they just leak it in the news?
Right.
Why are we not get, if there's all this damning evidence, tell us what it is.
Yeah.
And then let the people decide. If they're going to acquit Trump, they're going to acquit Trump. If they're going to remove him, they're going to remove him. It doesn't mean we can't know.
Right.
Why not leak it to the public and let the people decide, right? And I mean, I guess that's what John Bolton's trying to do with this book or whatever. But either way, it's still just his word and their word against other people's words.
But did I tell you that they have a tape of Bolton from August, a whole month after this phone call went down and the president released the transcript of the phone? And he said, because he was there listening to the phone call, He said it was a very cordial phone call. President Trump wished him good luck, and then if he needed anything, to give him a call and get together or whatever. And he said it was very cordial. Now, he never mentioned that he was pressured into saying something for the president of the Ukraine. So now he's writing a book, and it just happens the day before they were going to announce that his book was being written and being reviewed. He dropped this. Somebody did. They don't know who. And the next day, Amazon put the book up for pre-sale, and it was selling like crazy. Of course he would come out and say something like that. It made his book jump up in sales. Yeah. I mean, come on.
And also, I just don't understand. I just had a train of thought. I'm trying to get it back. So if there was suspicion that there was corruption going on, especially with somebody running for president, right? Mm-hmm. Don't you think you'd want to investigate?
I know.
I'm just saying. I'm like, why are they so worried? Why is this such a big deal that Trump wanted to get dirt on him? Dirt is typically evidence of corruption, right?
Right.
That's what dirt is. It's not supposed to be untrue. It's supposed to be true. I guess you could have untrue dirt on somebody, but then it's like, well, you can find out easily that it's not true.
Then they have a dossier against Trump that was completely dirt.
And that's another thing. It's like they want to investigate Trump, his whole presidency, but that's not deemed wrong and make things up about it, and that's not deemed wrong. And, they're using the whole he held military aid or whatever. Okay, good. Why are we paying this military aid? Right. And then he ended up giving him that and then more. And nothing even happened. And why are people not mad that we just gave them more military aid? It's so stupid.
It is.
But I'm glad that they didn't vote for witnesses, because I didn't want this to drag on anymore. No. I'm so done with it.
And it shouldn't have dragged. They should have had a vote this weekend, whether to convict or, release.
Yeah, it should have been done.
But Schumer wanted so that every senator could get up and say their piece, you know what I mean, which is baloney. They'll say it with their vote. But anyway, that's that. And hopefully by Wednesday it'll be over and we can go back to not hearing this every single day.
After this, he's going to get acquitted and they're going to run with this on the media.
Yeah.
Through the whole election. And then some.
Yeah.
We were trying to figure out how to get YouTube clips to play through the board, because I do have a CNN clip here from Chris Cuomo. He's what, Andrew Cuomo's brother?
Yeah, his brother.
They look identical.
I know.
Crazy.
I know, baby brother.
So he is a news analyst. Journalist,
yeah,
for the CNN, and we'll get to that whole point in a minute. But I'm gonna try to play it on my phone. It might not be best quality, because I'm gonna put my phone to the mic, and let's just listen to this.
You should be mad as hell, and you need to show these people you will not take it anymore. Republicans are voting as expected, a likely acquittal of a vote I could actually see on the merits. Not a great argument, but plausible. What is without any basis, except in bold-faced cowardice, is the vote to hold the first trial in history where you willfully avoid the people who know the truth of the president's words and deeds. And that takes us to the worst part of all of this, I argue. Now that it's safe, here come the Republicans admitting the truth. First came Tennessee Senator Alan.
Admitting the truth. Admitting the truth. Yeah. I wish you guys listening could see his face. You have to go to the clip on YouTube and see his face. He looks like he's trying to hypnotize you when he's saying this. It's so weird.
He's probably hypnotized himself.
Oh, I know. I mean, he has to say these things because he's on CNN. It's all scripted.
Right.
But this is supposed to be a analyst, not an opinion article. And he starts off with, you should be mad as hell. Here is CNN trying to tell you what to think, not give you facts or anything like that. Try to take their bias and tell you what to think. And I mean, almost any mainstream media, you're going to see their bias come out. Sure.
There's no news media right. anymore. It's yes. all opinions, mm-hmm. and they're supposed to report the news, but they make the news.
Right.
They make up news.
And this is him here making the news.
Right.
All right, so let's see what he says about what these senators say.
I think it was inappropriate and wrong for the president to do what he did. And I think it was proven. The question is whether you apply capital punishment to every offense. And I think in this case, I think the answer is no. No, it's not the question. The question is, how can he think you should decide what the consequence is and then in good conscience vote to deny you the information to make that decision? And that job of spin there is from a guy who's retiring. It gets worse. Florida Senator Marco Rubio. Just because actions meet a standard of impeachment doesn't mean it's in the best interest of the country to remove a president from office. I will not vote to remove the president because doing so would inflict extraordinary and potentially irreparable damage to our already divided nation. Now you want to say it's impeachable. You talk about inflicting damage. You keep your mouth shut. You keep your head down. But now you say he was rightly impeached. But you deny people access to the proof of the same. And then you complain about division. You are creating the division. You called Trump a con artist.
The way he says it, you are creating the division.
Yeah.
It's like there is nothing to be seen here.
I'll tell you what this nut.
CNN is creating the division. Yeah,
right. what he says is entirely wrong. Rubio didn't say that. And there will be no Republican, I'll bet your dollar, that would say that impeachment trial was correct. It was the most one-sided thing that you ever saw. The Democrats would not allow Republicans to hold to have any witnesses. They even started the trial in the basement of Congress, and so they held these interviews with witnesses in secret, and they still haven't released three of them because the people that said they didn't want the public to know. So this baloney about now they're saying that it was impeachable. That it wasn't.
Even if they did say that, so what if they thought it was impeachable? What? So what? Have your investigation. If
right.
you think there's something here, have an investigation. But just because something, just because someone's going to say something is impeachable, I also agree that it may not require removal from office.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've said before, we could impeach and remove Trump and the last four presidents before him for war crimes. We could do that if they wanted to, but that they don't want to do that.
But based on what Trump did, one of the attorneys said you could go back to every single president and impeach him.
And find something.
Oh, yeah, there is something that they did. Would
And
form
so
this.
Why is the big issue now this?
Because
like, of all things.
I don't think any other president in our history had people that out and out hated because
right.
they
this
were
this is literally a coup against him. This is
yeah.
treason, I think.
It is.
They want to talk about Trump committing treason, so-called treason. The Democrats pushing all of this are
yeah.
committing treason. This is insane. This is I don't care if you don't like the guy. He's not rounding up people and he's not Hitler. They keep
no.
saying he's literally Hitler, but he's not
no.
literally Hitler. He's not, I mean, the country is not in any less or worse of a shape than it was in. I mean, your life is the same as it was 8 years ago.
That's better.
My life is, well, yeah, I could say my life is better, but I mean, I've done a lot of things personally to make it better.
Well, yeah, but and you were afforded the opportunity to.
Right. I mean, but I mean, it's just, it's so crazy that you can have people making things up. And I mean, maybe this stuff for Ukraine did happen, right? But so what? I don't think it's a big deal. And most of America doesn't think it's a big deal.
You know why? You know why it's not a big deal? They got their money.
Right.
He got nothing in return.
Nothing happened.
Nothing happened. They got their money. And the president of the Ukraine said that he felt no pressure from that phone call whatsoever. He didn't even know the money was being held up. Mm-hmm. And like you said just a few minutes ago, corruption,
the Russia
that
thing.
The corruption of the Ukraine. He wanted to make sure the money went that wasn't going to be used for the president's pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And so I see nothing wrong in that. Plus, Hunter Biden was corruption. He was on that board making $83,000 a year for doing nothing. He couldn't speak the language. He knew nothing about gas, only when he had it. And, you know, I don't know. I'm glad it's over.
Almost.
Almost. But
they
when you go
really
to a,
just don't want him reelected. No. And it shows so much because they're saying that this Ukraine deal stuff is to try to interfere with the election. They're so hung up on him beating Hillary Clinton that there must have been interference. There must have been something going on. They're afraid. They're trying to make this narrative that it's going to happen again.
Yeah.
And they just don't want him elected so badly that they're willing to do anything. But I just don't see what they're so afraid about. And honestly, it's not interference with an election to get information on your opponent. No. I mean, if it's damning evidence that there was corruption and would make people less likely to vote for him, shouldn't we know?
Well, yeah.
As long as it's true.
And what about Adam Schiff? And before, you know, they had the hearings, and before they started, these two Russian comedians called Adam Schiff's office up and said that they had pictures of nude models in President Trump's room.
Who cares?
Wait a minute now. So they showed a picture of them in their studio, and then a picture of just Adam Schiff's face. They couldn't have a camera in there. So the staff member said, "Hold on a second." Held on, and Schiff came to the phone, and he says, "I hear you have information on President Trump."
Right, and these people are getting so much trying to get all this information
right
to, under their logic, interfere with the next election.
And these guys couldn't they kept laughing, holding their hands over the mics and laughing. They were comedians.
Yeah.
And they said, "We've got information, but we want to get paid." And he said, "How much do you want?" And I mean, they're trying to get information.
Right. They're doing the same exact thing.
Yeah.
No, they're not withholding military aid, but like we said, that doesn't really matter. That's not a big deal. We shouldn't be paying military aid to Ukraine anyway. But they will do anything to try to get so-called information or dirt on Trump to make him look worse and ruin his reputation for the next election. If anybody else does that, it's treason.
That's right.
It's, well, one of the it's funny impeachable.
One of the funny things, and I can't, these two guys, and they were talking in Russian accents, you know, and they said, "Now we have a picture of two nude models standing and jumping up and down on Trump's bed, peeing on the bed." So Schiff goes, "Can you get that to me? Can I have that video?" And you know, I mean, it was baloney. And he thought when they hung up so that he was going to get stuff. Mm-hmm. And then these two guys had it come out. They recorded it, and they were playing it, and they were just laughing. But, I mean, here you go. You know what? They don't like Trump because he's not a politician. He won't negotiate to get something done. He goes ahead and he gets things done, and they don't like that. You know, like whether it's immigration,
they don't like
policy.
That he's an outsider. They don't like right. that he hasn't been in the establishment. All these Congress people that don't have term limits yeah. that have so much invested in these certain policies and everything, he is a danger to some of those.
That's right.
And they don't like that. No. And it's very clear that they don't like that.
Well, he said to the drug companies, we'll lower drugs. We're going to cut the middlemen out because, there's steps that people make
yeah.
money.
Mm-hmm.
He said, we're cutting the middlemen out. That'll knock half of the price off of the drugs. Well, the politicians don't like that because they were getting kickbacks from the lobbyists
right.
to keep the middlemen. So he says things like that, and he gets them all worried because they're not going to make all this money off of these people. And
they should get paid $15 an hour.
Yeah,
I
right.
said the other day, I said, I don't know why this has been dragged on so long. They got to vote yes or no to remove him. They should have been locked in a room until they came out with an answer. Like, they're getting all this money.
Yep.
They can't work around the clock. They're working. The impeachment trial started at, like, 1. Or the Senate hearings start
right.
at 1. At least from what I know, because they
yeah,
went
they
live on
out.
YouTube at 1
no.
o'clock.
They started at 1, and they had 8 hours. The first, of course, that didn't include, that was 8 hours of questions, and it didn't include breaks. And I think the first one went to 2 in the morning, which is too long. Why do you need, and they kept saying this, the Democrats kept saying the same thing over
mm-hmm,
and over.
Yeah.
They call them house managers, Congress and the attorneys for the president, but they kept saying the same thing over and every I don't know it was ridiculous.
I don't know, let's pay them less, lock them in a room, they get like allotted nap times and
that's
snack
right.
times
and
they get food brought to them or whatever, let's figure this out and you're not leaving till we have an answer,
just like when you elect a pope. They got the cardinals in a room, and they stay there till they get somebody elected.
It would incentivize people to get information out and discussion done a lot quicker.
That's right.
If that was the case.
And maybe at the end of the
go to the bathroom,
days,
eat your food there, take a nap. You're
whatever.
Staying till you're done. But, yeah, that's what we got. And I think that's all I have for you today. So we'll see what happens. I think they're going to acquit him. I don't think this is going to go into removal. And, yeah, we'll see you next time.